Stop, drop, and roll, folks. We got a fire in here. Just kidding. We are talking about fire today, but not like that kind of fire. We are talking about the acronym that took social media by storm. Financial independence, retire early. Is it possible? Can anyone other than billionaires and nepo babies retire before the normal age of 65? We're going to find that out right now. This is Rich Girl's Guide, where we demystify the world of personal finance to help you create a financially successful and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Kirby Delacano, and I worked in wealth management for over 6 years before leaving the office to focus on my business and my family. Now, funnily enough, this is not a new concept. It was actually coined way back in the 90s, before social media, by authors Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. They wrote a book called Your Money or Your Life. Don't worry, I read it so you don't have to. I'll link the book below if you are interested in reading it, and many libraries carry this book for free, so be sure to check out your local library before buying anything, especially if you're trying to retire early, okay? While the concept of frugal living or living below your means has been around, I would assume, since the start of bartering services for other services, this specific FIRE concept has a bit of a twist. Vicky and Joe claim that in order to retire at any age, all you have to do is figure out your monthly expenses, calculate how much capital you need to make that amount of money in interest from your investments, save up that amount of money, and voila kazam! You can retire early. You can retire early. You can retire early. Literally anyone can retire early. But not like everyone, because we do have declining birth rates and AI can't do everything for us just yet. But like, you get the point. Let me give you a quick rundown of this book. The overall theme is that your job is slowly killing you. Most people's lives revolve around their job, jobs that most Americans don't even like. One of the quotes the authors frequently come back to is that instead of making a living, we are making a dying. In other words, our soulless jobs are slowly killing us. There's also a distinct distaste for consumerism and buying more than you need. In the words of the author, and thus the rat race was born, leading to our excruciating balancing act between working more to buy luxuries and having enough leisure to enjoy them. The idea of working more in order to buy more is actually something that I subscribe to. I personally know that I have the tendency to buy pretty things, things that are well marketing and cute packaging, more and more and more things that eventually just clutter up my space. So I do agree with this sentiment, to a certain extent. They go on to outline 9 steps that you need to take in order to achieve financial independence. Real quick, I just wanted to pop in and say thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you find this information helpful, please be sure to rate and review this show wherever you are listening right now. It helps me so much. Thank you. First, you have to find out your lifetime income and net worth to essentially shame you for not having enough money saved. You then have to diligently track every cent that comes into and out of your life, start a monthly tabulation, which is not to be confused with a budget, ponder the meaning of every single purchase you make, stop spending more than you make and track this on a chart, lower your expenses, maximize your income while keeping your work in line with your values, calculate how much savings you need to live off of your interest, and then live off of said investment interest for the remainder of your life. And how does this book define financial independence? Financial independence is achieved when your monthly expenses can be covered by the interest made on your investments. Now, one thing this book finally touched on at the end that I actually did really like was the idea that you can have financial independence but still continue to work because you want to, not because you have to. They give examples of how some folks will take sabbaticals from work to raise children, travel, or pursue passions, and then go back to work even though, financially speaking, they may not need to. Okay, so I know that overview was a little bit sarcastic on my part. Here's the thing. If I had read this book back in high school or even like early college, I would have been raving about it. And I'm sure it has helped a ton of people reconcile their relationship to money and spending habits. But I have to say, after being in the wealth management industry, it's hard to take some of this like woo-woo stuff too seriously, you know? If you're someone who is not a numbers person, you love affirmation and hate balancing a checkbook, but you could really use some guidance and a gentle nudge when it comes to taking control of your finances, I think you actually will really enjoy this book and get something out of it. For me, as a numbers person and not a woo-woo person, I didn't get that much out of it. As a realist who lives in a world that needs teachers to teach my kids, bus drivers to transport children to and from schools, baristas to make coffee, librarians, firefighters, financial advisors, police officers, even the DMV workers. We need workers to keep things running. I put burgers together in college. I served tables up until midnight. I worked as a lifeguard, and I even did my time in the office as a 9-to-5er. And guess what? It all kind of sucks. Even if you find something that you love, that you are so incredibly passionate about, doing it over and over and over again and having to make a living from it is going to take a toll on you over time. At the end of the day, we need people to work in a multitude of different jobs to keep society up and running. Maybe in the future, AI will be able to help us out with this, but right now, it's kind of up to us. Now, that is not to say that I don't agree with some of the points brought up in this FIRE movement, and I'll expand on that in just a second. But the overall theme of the book is that our soulless work is slowly killing us all, and we need to retire earlier. The earlier, the better. And it just seems a little bit ridiculous to me. And you could fight me on that, okay? Drop a comment, let me know, just be civil, okay? So let's answer the question, is FIRE possible? The short answer is yes, of course it is. Now, how doable it is a different story. Do I think FIRE should be something that everyone strives for? Absolutely not. I think there are a multitude of different reasons someone may want to retire early, while someone else may want to have a more traditional working career. And both of those perspectives can be perfectly valid. I'm also not entirely convinced that financial independence can only be defined by having enough cash at the bank to cover your current monthly expenses. What if your expenses go up drastically without warning due to health or a natural disaster? What if your investments aren't offering the same interest that they once did? Inflation's kind of crazy right now, and it has been in the past before. What happens if the cost of living goes up dramatically? For me, there are too many potential factors that could easily flip the script and make you no longer financially independent. Why do most people wait until age 65 to retire? There are two main reasons that people wait until 65. The first is that 65 used to be the age at which you would receive full Social Security benefits, aka the government would send you cash every single month. Now, that age has actually been increased based on the year you were born. Full benefits could start anywhere from age 66 up to 67. But for folks like me who are under the age of 55, I don't think any of us are really counting on Social Security at this point because, you know, there might not be anything left. Allegedly, this is all conspiracy and totally unfounded. The second reason is Medicare, which does not kick in until you turn 65. If you retire before the age of 65 and you aren't covered by a spouse or family member for health insurance, you will actually need to go out and pay for private health insurance. And let me tell you, that gets expensive real quick. According to Value Penguin, if you are 60 years old, you are going to be paying on average about $1,240 a month for health insurance. That's nearly $15,000 annually. And it's only going to increase year over year as you get older until you reach age 65. Now, as long as you account for this expense ahead of time, it's not an issue. The problem is that a lot of people forget about this and don't save money accordingly. I also don't know if I missed it, but I did not see that brought up in this book at all. Let's go through an example of someone successfully becoming financially independent and retiring early. Mary is 25 years old and hates her job. Between rent, groceries, and all other monthly expenditures, Mary's monthly expenses total $2,000. While that may seem low, one of the key elements of the FIRE method is being frugal and cutting out pretty much all unnecessary expenses. So $2,000 is actually pretty on par. Mary is risk averse, meaning she does not want to invest in anything risky. So she opts for a low risk 30-year bond that pays 4.59% annually. In order to calculate the total capital she will need, or total savings to invest, she will use the following FIRE formula: capital times current long-term interest rate divided by 12 equals your monthly investment income. Working this formula, we will need to multiply Mary's needed investment income, $2,000, times 12, giving us an annual need of $24,000. Divide that by the current long-term interest rate of 4.59%, and you get $522,876. Honestly, that's not as bad as I was anticipating. Right now, Mary is working a job that pays $5,000 a month after taxes, leaving her with an additional $3,000 a month to save. Assuming she starts with no savings, if she saves $3,000 every single month and puts that money into a high-yield savings account earning 4% annually, she will have saved up her capital in just 11 and a half years, or 138 months. Once Mary has her capital saved, according to the FIRE method, she is now financially independent. She can quit her job if she wants to at the ripe old age of 36, travel the world as long as she can fit that into her monthly budget, or she can continue working without having the added stress of knowing she has to work. If she ends up needing to increase her expenses, then I guess she has to go back to work and increase that capital until she is once again financially independent. Again, unless I missed it in the book, I did not see any tabulation for taxes. Maybe the reader is supposed to know that the income tax on the investment income should be included in the total monthly expense figure. For argument's sake, let's assume Mary has already accounted for taxes and included that in her $2,000 monthly expense. We'll also need to assume that she won't want kids or to make any large purchases in the next 50 or so years of her life. We'll assume that interest rates will continue on as is or even increase, but fingers crossed they never decrease. Hopefully, healthcare costs won't continue increasing exponentially as they have been, because that will really eat into her $2,000 monthly budget. In case you couldn't tell, I'm really not a huge fan of this FIRE method. While I do think the idea is intriguing, and I'm sure some people would really thrive subscribing to this, the practical steps outlined in the book and the push to have people map out their expenses for the rest of their lives when they are still in their early years and then potentially quit their jobs over it is a bit over the top for my taste. But I don't think I'm the target audience, so maybe I'm just not supposed to get it. Okay, I am dying to know. What do you guys think about this? Is the FIRE method possible? Is this something that you'd be interested in trying to accomplish? Let me know, drop a comment below, or submit anonymously through the link in the description. I'm just baffled by this movement, but maybe I'm just getting old. Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow wherever you are listening right now. And as always, I will have a video out this Thursday on YouTube and a brand new episode next Monday. Later, rich girls.